Catch up. There we go. Thank you, Paul, for Paul's update and then our speaker Philip's presentation. So that will all be recorded and then available at a later date. But otherwise, can I hand over to Paul?
Okay, good morning all. Thank you very much, Corrie. Quite a bit to go through this morning, and some of it is from my notes that I wrote on Tuesday changed yesterday. So, and one thing this morning. Firstly, let's deal with DEFRA. Blue Tongue. There was due to be a meeting in about a week's time when they were going to review everything going forward for Blue Tongue. The Blue Tongue situation has changed yesterday in the fact that they have extended the current regime until the 15th of May, so there will be no changes to the current Blue Tongue rules and regs until at least the 15th of May. They are still working on show licenses and show regs. There will be a separate page that will be eventually posted on Blue Tongue, but there is nothing more to say on Blue Tongue than it is as is until the 15th of May at the earliest. Avian flu, as I sent out on the catch the MailChimp earlier this week, gone very quiet in that sphere, thankfully, and only one case in the last 10 days or so. Now, you many of you that were at the catch at the learning day will recall that Mark Rigby said that the exclusions included dog and duck displays. Now, there is an AFA office that have given out some information saying that dog and ducks are allowed. I have checked this morning with AFA again, and they have confirmed that dog and duck displays are not allowed. They are not within the regulations. Game, falconry, and birds of prey, as long as it's notified to AFA prior to, is going to be allowed currently, but dog and duck are still not allowed. Movements and passports. There are now, as I reported back at the regional meetings and at the learning day, and I put the graph up about the various movements and developments that will be ongoing on this. And in fact, the first of the events as the trials have now been fixed, and there's going to be a meeting about the sheep, goats, and pigs new movement scheme, but nothing more than a tabletop sort of discussion about it. So things are starting to move, but not very fast. And if there's anything, and as there's anything more to report, we will do. Foot and mouth. I don't know whether many of you have seen the news this morning, but in regards to foot and mouth, the import by people, holiday makers in particular, and people visiting this country bringing beef, sausages, and cheese is now banned. And there will be a £5,000 fine for people bringing that into the country from Europe. And that has gone live this morning following a decision yesterday. So the foot and mouth, rules and trying to contain it out of this country are being pushed forward quite significantly. So that's Blue Tongue staying as it is until the at least the 15th of May now, as announced yesterday. Avian flu, still no dog and duck. Movement starting to move forward, and that foot and mouth on food coming into the UK. Now, is there anything anybody else, while we're on DEFRA, anybody wants to raise on DEFRA in particular? Alan.
Yeah, apologies. I was late in due to Wi-Fi issues. Just want to be clear with shows now are coming up. What do people bring with them to the show? Do they bring anything or nothing? So it's going
In
sorry.
relation to
Blue tongue.
there is no show guidance for Blue Tongue out yet at all.
Okay.
They are still working on it. I had an email from them. I chased them last week and they said there will be a specific page on Blue Tongue for shows. When it is ready and up, they will let us know. But everything is just was on hold until the supposed meeting on the 23rd of April. Well, yesterday they extended the current rules and regulations to the 15th of May, and they will then review and discuss nearer that time.
So the exhibitors in the red zone cannot come into the clean zone with their
Correct.
animals. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. Right. And that responsibility is with the exhibitor or with the show?
It's with the show and the exhibitor, both. The exhibitor, sh the show should be checking once they're, just before their show, where the zone is. There is no change to the zone at the moment, and I've not been warned of any change likely to occur.
Okay. I think that's one of my sort of slight worries is that we are going to get an exhibitor who is just going to ship up. So
Yeah.
you're quite right with saying the shows need to sit down with all the postcodes and compare them to the map, I guess. Okay. Thank you.
And there is a rumor that the whole country was going to be made into one zone, but that again, nobody would deny or confirm it. And I had Scottish bull producers on the phone yesterday about that same question, that particular question.
And it
Oh,
appears.
somebody else said Paul.
Sorry.
Hi, Rebecca.
Sorry. Can I just check on the AFID DEFRA website? It says about that they must do a movement license, get a movement license before they bring them to shows. Is that not needed?
They are changing it on Blue Tongue day by day. And when I've asked for a show guidance, they said show guidance is not yet available.
Okay, so they just do their normal
Yeah, they
movements.
would just do any other movement stuff that is already there.
Okay.
There's nothing specific for shows as yet.
Right. Okay, brilliant. So obviously
Go on,
we're
Alan.
coming up. We're 10th of May, so we're coming up quite quick now.
And Paul, the llamas and alpacas are included in that, aren't
Yes.
they? Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Paul, there's a comment from Judy on chat. I just wonder if you can
All right, hang on, Judy,
give her
what was that
your
first bit
opinion
again?
on that comment.
Oh, that, no, that's new. I will have to take advice on that. Wouldn't be able to comment on that at all because that is different to what I've been told, what I was even told last week.
Can
So
I just say we had that with one of our exhibitors and we did contact our firm. They said that wasn't true and that was a week ago.
right, thank you.
Paul, can I just ask as well? So it's the 15th of May, that's the first day of our show. If the animals are already in situ, are we going to have an issue? How do you see that playing out?
Right, I will go back to them and plead the Fifth Amendment and ask about the 15th and see what I can find out.
Thank you, Paul.
That's all I can do on that one, I'm afraid, Lisa.
No, that's fine. I just didn't know what if the animals are in situ, whether that makes a
Yeah.
difference. But
Okay.
obviously,
I will
I'm
go
pleased it's
back
not
with that.
the
I will go back with that specific because Corrie had the situation last year of her zones changing during your autumn show, Corrie, didn't you?
14th. Yes. But so we had told animals that they couldn't come from the restricted zone, and then on the Saturday when the restricted zone covered us, they could have come. So it does change.
Okay, I will go back and ask that specific question on about the 15th. As far as I knew until yesterday morning, the 23rd of April was going to be the change date. But then yesterday it was announced 15th of May, nothing changes until then. Okay, going on to other things, Phonographic Performance Limited and Performing Rights Society. Now, Many of you will know I've been banging on about this for years, and I got a file out the other day to look back, and I started this nearly 30 years ago with them. And I've had a very much very good meeting with them on Tuesday. Performing Phonographic Performance Limited, everybody is covered for their events that are listed in the handbook by the discounted amount, and that is fine. Performing Rights Society have now agreed to start and talk to us about the Performing Rights Society license. Now, some shows have been charged under the AS license, which is what we all knew as the Agricultural Shows license. Some shows have been charged under a general entertainments license and given a 50% discount. And we had communication from PPL PRS back 6 weeks ago telling us that the AS tariff no longer exists. Well, when I met the people from the company on Tuesday, they said, oh, yes, it does. And here it is as of February this year. So they have miraculously reinstigated and reissued the AS tariff. Now, I'm waiting now for more paperwork from them to confirm all of this, but then I will send Brown on a MailChimp everything about PPL and PRS so as everybody knows what they should be being charged for, how it's calculated, and everything going forward. I've actually made quite a big breakthrough with them this week because back at Christmas and in correspondence to some shows, they were told that AS tariff no longer existed. So we've got somewhere which is highly discounted. I've had raised with us some issues with people, traders not trading in line with national guidelines and with especially with gambling and lotteries. So please be aware and make sure that all of your traders are operating in the correct way, getting the correct licenses from your own local authorities, because it is in contravention of the Gambling Act to operate without the appropriate license. And so there have been some issues raised by some members of the public at shows having traders not conforming and not displaying and saying they haven't got a license and they didn't think they needed one. So just be aware that the local trading rules and regulations are the responsibility of the exhibitor, but if you see anybody doing anything like that, they should have the appropriate license. Now, on to the next major one is Martin's Law. As you are all aware, this has now received royal assent, and so therefore is now a legal entity. There will be a 2-year implementation period. The Security Industries Association, who are the enforcement authority, are now starting to set up the regime that will be there to operate and enforce it, but there's nobody in the team as yet. There are two fact sheets, the information about which I sent out on a recent MailChimp, where you can log on to get information. The National Protective Security Authority is another website worth looking at, and there will be requirements and a legal requirement for all shows to register and have an appointed person nominated to be dealing with Martin's Law in the organisation. As stuff becomes now more and more confirmed, we will keep doing an update on various MailChimps so that you get the information and can log on and look at it and read all about it. But it will be a steep learning curve for everybody. We're all here to work with each other and learn all about it. A reminder that in the conference area other areas of the website, there are papers there to help you, including syndicate summaries from conferences and presentations that are made. So do please look at the members area on the and resources area on the website, and all the information is there. Pam pulls all these things together and posts them up there. So please do look at them, and they're there to help you. I'm having several calls and requests for information on these new waste regulations. A reminder that this year, the new waste regulations only affect shows and events that have the equivalent of 10 permanent full-time employees. If you haven't got that, they do not affect you this year. Those shows that it does affect, like Great Yorkshire, South of England, Bath and West, three counties, I know some of them are having serious issues because one of the new parts of it is waste cannot be taken away and sorted off site. It all has to be sorted on site.
The hell are they going to do that?
The one show in particular has already contacted me saying their waste contractor hasn't got enough vehicles and the correct vehicles to be able to do that. So anybody that has any issues, please do come back to me. And if necessary, we'll have a separate session for those involved with the new waste regulations and get our man back from Aaron back from DEFRA to talk around any issues that anybody has got.
Paul,
Yes.
is it possible also if you can ask? So we obviously are a showground that we hire out our showground to other companies' events because we have to comply. Does that mean that those companies using our showground have to comply, even though they may not have the number of employees that the 10 minimum employees?
Good question. I don't know the answer. I will ask the question.
Okay, thank you.
Now, lastly, from me is the sad news that Shrewsbury Flower Show announced yesterday that they, due to cost of living crisis, the national insurance, and the security of their particular show, will not be running this year. Now, that's a very big flower show and very big show in the centre of Shrewsbury that has been pulled. They are hoping to get going again next year, but after a long, long look at everything, they pulled yesterday. So that's a great sign of the times. You know, there are still a couple of shows, one day shows, have still not got going since COVID, and to have a very large show like that, which is, you know, n a national level, be pulled is very significant for the show industry. So just a reminder to finish that as the shows begin, a reminder that Pam and I are here to answer any questions, queries, and help where we can, and link shows up over any issues. So please don't be afraid to contact us, and we will do what we can to help. Right, before I pass back, anybody got any other questions on anything I've talked about this morning? No? Okay, right. Thanks, Corrie.
Okay, thank you, Paul. So now I'd like to hand over to Philip Adams, who is the LEAF Education Manager. Thank you for joining us today, Philip, and away you go.
Thank you, Corrie, and thank you, Paul. And yeah, pleasure. Delighted to be here with you all today and talk a little bit about what we do. And also look at education as a whole, ways for the agriculture industry to get involved with. And yeah, if there's any questions at the end, hopefully I'll have a little bit of time to answer those. Can you just confirm you can see my
Yep.
screen? All right, perfect. I'll try not to do death by PowerPoint, but we've gone through a lot of change at LEAF. We're in the middle of launching into our new strategy to take us through the next 3 years. And this is all related to our growth as a UK charity. So those that are familiar with us, we've been around since 1991, really promoting sustainable farming. And there's three arms to LEAF. We've got integrated farm management, which is your sustainable farming practices direct on farm, which we encourage many farmers to adopt. Whether they adopt all nine principles of integrated farm management, it all depends on the context. But what we really specialize in is it's that whole farm site specific approach to farming. So it doesn't have a blanket one set of rules that everyone must adhere to. We then have the quality assurance through LEAFMARC, which is our global sustainable farming assurance standard for produce, which if you shop in your local supermarkets, you'll start seeing this on logos, packaging a lot more as we work with retailers. And then we've got our education and public engagement arm. And it is all about promoting more sustainable farming, really looking at that resilient and ready food and farming system for our future generations. So, as Corey's mentioned, I'm the education manager. Now, I have over 12 years' experience as a teacher and assistant head teacher, predominantly in primary education, but also worked in secondary education. And the main role of our education and public engagement team is really to connect with and build trust with young people and society to provide educational touch points that really allow young people to connect with the industry we love. And we want to share the good practice, really give young people, society, an informed decision that they can make, so they have a much better appreciation and understanding of the work we do. We know the media is very heavy on negative publicity at times. So this is why our work is so important. And what sets our team apart from every similar organization doing the same work with young people is that our whole team are all qualified teachers. It's one of our prerequisites. So we have a real good understanding of the curriculum, educating children at all ages, and being able to link food and farming and the environment to agriculture so it has a great impact. So this is some of our work in 2024. The last 3 years when I joined, so I joined LEAF back in 2022. When I joined, we were working with 10,000 young people a year on farm. La In 2023, we worked with 38,000 young people directly on farm or in the classroom. And in 2024, we've ended up working with more farmers, which has been hugely exciting to see that journey of the industry really engaging with education. So our scaled work has really increased. We've had a 30% growth in the number of beneficiaries. So these beneficiaries are young people. So we've had nearly 1 million beneficiaries that is directly linked to the farmers we've trained and them delivering educational access visits. That's directly linked to our resources that teachers use, delivering those in school. And we track these figures quite robustly. So we know that the reality is they are very accurate. And it's hugely exciting when we're engaging this many young people a year. But for us at LEAF, we're really looking at three key outcomes going forward. One of them is increasing the knowledge of sustainable food production. Two, driving those climate positive food choices and environmental action. And three, really raising aspirations and empowering future generations to be change makers in our future resilient and ready food and farming systems. So we're starting to see this data coming through from those 26,000 people we're working with, where they have a much better understanding of how farmers are looking after the environment whilst producing food. They are recognizing that their choice with food is really important when we talk about climate change and the impact that can have on food and farming. And one of the biggest changes we've seen in the last year is three quarters of GCSE age students, so those 14, 15, 16-year-olds, are now selecting A-level subjects that will directly link to a career in the agri-food industry that they're inspired to follow. So that might be they're selecting biology, business studies. They might be selecting food preparation, nutrition, environmental science. They're really starting to see the industry as a place of opportunity and welcome for them. And this is hugely exciting, which is why we do what we do at the LEAF Education team. And for us, the main thing is we aren't delivering one-off touch points. It's not about giving them a lovely experience on farm. That is brilliant, but what we do extends beyond that. So the top left picture on your screen, this is Tom. Tom is an A-level environmental science student. came to join us on farm, really looking at habitats, how the farm is working with its soil, increasing biodiversity. But during the visit, obviously it was lambing time in the spring, and Tom, in his brand new white North Face coat, decided to support and help birth a lamb. So, yes, we've delivered the educational impact we strive for, but also we are still delivering those wow moments that stay with those young people forever. And that's something Tom will take forward. The second from the left, the young man with the glasses. It's Jordan's. This is part of our national competition for secondary students. He was tricked to going into this competition by his teacher. He's from a very deprived background in Birmingham. Had no opportunities. First time he'd ever stayed away from home on a residential. We took them to Myerscough College. So we work with many agricultural colleges and universities across England. And on this weekend, we really immersed them. So we were looking at soil as the key to sustainable food production. So Jordan had no connection with agriculture, no interest in it. After spending a weekend here looking at soils, technologies, all the practices our farmers do to be sustainable, to produce food, he suddenly found his fascination for science and made a clear link to entomology. So Jordan is now at Manchester Metropolitan University studying entomology, all from this first experience where the teacher didn't tell him what he was going for, was trying to give him an experience away from home, his first ever experience away from home. And now he's had a future career path. So they're things that we do at Leaf and we really pride ourselves on. The three girls in the milking parlour, from a very, sorry, I should say this correctly, from a very affluent area, private school, thought we still milked on stools, on a three-legged stool. And here they are, 5 a.m. in the milking parlour, supporting the dairy produced milk in the morning. So again, a huge experience for them. But these three girls actually then won the competition. So again, no interest in agriculture. Delivered a hugely exciting presentation, really understanding what farmers are doing to produce food sustainably, to work with nature, work with the environment, and actually deliver actions that go far beyond that individual farm that actually benefit all in society. And they really got to understand the concepts of integrated farm management and practice. And then finally, the image on the right, this is a group of students recently. They are doing a field trial investigation into the abundance of chicory in a herbal lay. And these students are actually going to share their results and feedback back with the farmer to look at improved practices going forward. And for these biology students, they will then go on to university and we will follow them on that journey, find out what they're going to study. And there is a strong possibility that they will then end up in a career linked to agriculture. And it's so important that we provide these opportunities. And like yourselves at these showgrounds, children really get the opportunity to come and experience agriculture. And then there's a few quotes there. And one of my favorite ones, this one on the right, that shows actually, when we're talking about food and farming and delivering that as a real world context in the school curriculum, it not only gives young people an appreciation and understanding of the industry we love, but actually it also benefits them academically in other subjects. And this environmental science leader has attested to that, tracking pupils' progress in their AQA exams. So we know that the power agriculture has to deliver so many benefits to young people is overwhelmingly positive. So this is kind of why we do what we do. And all our work is based off of our teenager research that we did with over 2,500 young people back in 2023. I've added the link there and you can see the full research report. But the key thing from this is in these four areas, we looked at conscious consumers, careers, sustainable agriculture, diversity and inclusivity. The key thing is this gives key recommendations, not just for us at Leaf, but also for the agricultural industry. So if ever you are thinking about education work, there are some key recommendations from this. And this is based on the data we got from these young people. So interestingly, 0% of young people have agricultural careers advice in the school curriculum. It's not a statutory content. You are very reliant on a really enthusiastic and engaged teacher. But these are some of the statistics we have. We've got children then believing that soil is important. We know soil is important. It's so important to produce food, but we're building that connection with young people. Nearly 100% of young people from this research believe everyone should be more aware about how their food is produced. We've got a really engaged young generation coming through that want to know more. And there's a great opportunity for us here, as individuals, as organizations, as collectives, to really build on this positivity. And then these are those five key recommendations that we learned from that. And this is direct from young people. What do they want? One, experiential learning. They don't want to be sat there and taught the theory. They've got to see it, touch it, smell it, believe it, on farm or in the classroom. Two, needs to come back to that curriculum link, because it's got to have meaning. And as an educator, you can link farming to any single subject in the curriculum as a real world context, as a case study, as a practical example, and it gives it real meaning. It's so exciting when you have inspirational teachers doing that and seeing that. And that's what we do at LEAF. And then they also want to be able to talk to professionals, have work experience if possible. This is probably the most challenging piece, is the work experience, because of all the health and safety considerations that come with it on farm. But to get around that, they've got to be able to talk to people. If they can't talk to an agronomist, they can't talk to a farmer, they can't talk to a biologist, they're not going to be able to see an opportunity in this industry. So then it all comes back to, why do we educate? So this circular approach I've highlighted in orange here, these are the education focused things. We want to increase knowledge of food production, farming, because that will then help us drive climate positive food choices at an individual, community, and collective level. We'll also raise those aspirations and opportunities to join the sector and contribute and be change makers of the future. And then that has the impact then on the industry. We then get new entrants, we get new knowledge created, we get people that are innovative. We're then able to share that knowledge among ourselves as farmers within the industry and food producers. We can then deliver more sustainable farming in the future. And then it comes back to increasing trust with the consumers, with the public. And again, we're then increasing more knowledge of sustainable food farming, et cetera. So education is so important. And that's why we do what we do. And I know many of your shows will also have that educational element. So coming then to the support we provide, but also opportunities to engage in education for your networks, for farmers. For us as teachers, CVAS is currently one of the key training schemes for farmers, and it is linked to an ACT capital payment as well. So this is CVAS accreditation, and this is where we, as qualified teachers, train you to deliver a safe, fun, engaging, and high quality educational visit. Where you can bring groups of young people onto farm and talk about the work you do in your context. So we'll go through things like the industry code of practice, and on the Access to Farms website, visitmyfarm.org, you can view this, you can see this code of practice. It's really good for bringing young people onto farm to have that knowledge. We look at how you manage risk assessments with groups of young people, and that's really important for schools and teachers to be aware of, that you understand what you're doing. When you're assessing risk with young people, because it makes it a lot more of a fluid and easier process for schools to then visit with their young children. So, anything more you want to know about CVS, we've got the website there. We deliver all courses. It's grown hugely. 5 years ago, we trained 40 farmers a year through CVS and maybe ran four or five courses a year. We're now delivering 25 plus courses a year at LEAF. And last year we trained over 300 farmers through CVAS. So it's experiencing huge growth, and it's really good to see this. It's the main thing that farmers need to do if they are looking to bring young people onto farm. Highly recommend it. For you, your shows, for your networks, we try to run education events. So we have one coming up on the 8th of May and the 15th of May, where we're looking at inspiring the next generation. So with the National Federation of Young Farmers Clubs, we've developed a careers pack with educational resources. And this event is for industry to attend to. So whether you're a farmer, whether you're a member of an organization or an organization in agriculture, this event is for you. So it's a full resource pack with training in how to deliver that to young people. So that's really good. It's coming up. If you may be familiar with the previous version we did, which was produced back in 2019, so we've updated that to reflect changes in the industry. So it's hugely exciting. Countryside Classroom, hopefully many of you will be aware of. This is a one-stop shop for all educational resources. Anybody can access it. It's free to access. Many of the resources are free. We have over 89,000 regular teacher users. But the resources aren't just there for teachers, they're for farmers, industry to use as well. And they deliver tried and tested methods on farm or in the classroom setting. So for example, if you're at a show, there's activities broken down by subject, broken down by age range that you want to deliver to, and you can find a plethora of activities that teachers know, love, know work, and you can replicate those in your settings at your shows. And one of the key features of Countryside Classroom is we can list your event as a place to visit. So we can link directly to your websites to host your event, and put that out to our network on Countryside Classroom. So we have over 130,000 regular users in total who will see your events. And that's something we would love to be able to do for your network, is to be able to boost your shows to that network so that people can connect with them and find out where they can experience more about food and farming. There's resources on there. There's resources on there for farmers. This is a brand new one. So these are practical farm resources for secondary learners. So these are a collection of resources that you can use on farm that will train you and teach you how to use those resources for any age group. Yes, they're appropriate for secondary learners. You could do it for adults. You could adapt it for younger children potentially. It's things like bringing out quadrats to look at mixed species swards on your land. There is one around livestock and looking at genetics. There are so many: biodiversity, farm management, sustainability, all things there, looking at your water and the importance of water in farming. So there's another resource. This is just one example. And then coming up this summer, key things to be involved with. We've just developed a whole set of new resources for Farming Fortnight, which takes place around Open Farm Sunday. So this is the 2nd to the 13th of June this year. These resources you can use as well. You can use in your networks. They contain activity ideas, suggestions to focus on key areas of integrated farm management, many of which apply to most farming contexts anyway. So some great ideas and signposting there for you to also use. And then finally, things to encourage people to get engaged with, just like your shows. Open Farm Sunday is that annual event every year where we can really connect with members of the public. And it's not just about opening your farm and Open Farm Sunday. There is a huge range of support through Annabelle, the Open Farm Sunday manager, and Jess, in our team at Leaf, to support you, to support farmers, in engaging and opening up with members of the public. It's a really powerful platform. It doesn't have to be a huge event. We encourage people to open up for small events. It could be bringing 10, 20 people to your farm, to your showground, and talking about the work going on. There are some stats here from last year, and you can find out more about these on the Open Farm Sunday website. So I won't go into too much detail, but we're nearly at 200,000 visitors on one day a year. It doesn't have to be delivered on one day. It can be any day in June to qualify as an Open Farm Sunday event. But the key thing is, as I've kind of alluded to with the education piece, when we're bringing people to these events, 91% of those 180,000 visitors are encouraged to buy more British food when they're seeing, meeting British farmers. They've got greater trust in British farming when they're coming to these events. And this is what we want to encourage: building that relationship with society, celebrating the good work that the industry does. This is just some more stats around Open Farm Sunday. But the visitors learn so much, and they're varied in age range as well. So from our wheel, we can see you get young people, teenagers, young adults, middle-aged adults, older adults. Everyone is coming. It's for the whole family. So we really are touching multiple touch points at different age ranges. So it's an event that's there for everyone, just like your shows are. And I talked about support. So please use the Open Farm Sunday website. We've got so many more things happening now through Open Farm Sunday as it grows and develops. So there are a lot of webinars that you can access for support, can share with your networks. It offers ticketing systems, first-time hosting, and we now have activity ideas, and we are developing activity packs to help engage with members of the public. So please do check in with Open Farm Sunday. And Annabelle and Jess are always welcome to have a chat with anybody should you wish to learn more. And this year, for your awareness, it's on the 8th of June. As I said, an Open Farm Sunday event can happen any time in June. And we have Farming Fortnight surrounding it to really drive that campaign around connecting with British food and farming. Okay, I've tried to keep under my 20 minutes. So hopefully I've done well, Corinne Paul. There is a video hopefully you'll be able to access when you look back at this recording. It is on the Leaf website, and it just shows you from the perspective of young people and adults what it means to connect with the industry for the first time and the opportunities they see, what they can do on farm, and to hear directly from them. So rather than just hearing from me talk about our work. But I will stop there. And yes, thank you very much for inviting me today. But if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to do my best to answer them.
Thank you, Philip. Does anybody have any questions? If you could put your hand up, or I'm trying to scroll through if anybody has any
Don't know
questions.
whether Tom Woodall, I don't know whether he was scratching his head or putting his hand up. He did something then. Tom?
No. No.
I'll press the right button, Paul, before I speak. No, just considering some of the things that Philip was talking about and how we might bleed it into our education activities, but no questions from me, thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Okay, well, thank you ever so much, Philip. It'll be good. We're actually a show that is on at the same time as Open Farm Sunday. So we have been trying for a few years to increase our links with Leaf and have a representation of Open Farm Sunday at our show. We haven't had much luck, but it may be if I ha if we could have the contact details of Annabelle and Jess, that would be really helpful. That would be great. But if anybody else doesn't have any questions for Philip, thank you very much again, Philip. And does anybody have any questions or